You're listening to MLB on TuneIn Live, the podcast.
Play ball!
Presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB on TuneIn Live. MLB on TuneIn Live airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time on TuneIn.
Welcome into MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by J.P. Arencibia. In a little bit, we're going to get to the MLB on TuneIn Live triple play. But there were 14 games on Wednesday, and to start our podcast today, we're going to recap those games in our own special way as J.P. and I now bring you Best Day Ever, the Home Run Tracker, and Statistically Speaking.
Best Day Ever on MLB on TuneIn Live.
All right, let's start at the plate here, and I'm going to go with Jay Bruce of the New York Mets. He had a big night, a guy that was booed incessantly last year when he got traded there. He was bandied about in trade talks. People are still down on him with the Mets. I'm sure they'll turn on him again soon once he goes into a slump, which is inevitable. Right now, he's crushing the baseball. Hit his fifth and sixth home runs tonight. Both home runs Jay Bruce hit for the Mets gave them a lead over the Phillies. They were down by a couple runs. Hits a three-run home run. They're down by two runs late. Hits a two-run home run. 3 for 4, two homers, a double, five ribbies. Jay Bruce, best day ever. How about you?
My best day ever goes to the one Bryce Harper. 4 for 4, three runs. Absolute owns Julio Teheran. Hit 5 RBIs, a grand slam, a walk, and he's only brought his average up to 404 with an OPS of 1,362. Only brought his OPS. So he's struggling to start the season. Listen, Bryce, keep your head up. You'll be fine. It's a long year. I know you started off slow, but he is my best day ever today.
That's my pick for NL MVP this year, and he's gotten off to a hot start. Best day ever on the mound, I'm going to go back and, I mean, this is my guy, Amir Garrett. He took a loss. Probably first time I've ever gone with best day ever, a guy that took a loss, but the Reds rookie left-hander against the Baltimore offense in that bandbox Great America Ballpark takes a loss. 7 innings, 2 runs, 1 walk, and a dozen strikeouts. He struck out 12 tonight. This kid was dominating. Despite giving up the 2 runs, best day ever, Amir Garrett, Cincinnati Reds. How about you?
How do you give Amir Garrett best day ever when you don't even get the win? But, all right.
Wins don't mean much in baseball anymore. Did you not know that?
Yeah, but he took the loss, though. So
who cares? 12 strikeouts, 2 runs, 7 innings?
I'm going Jason Vargas, the West Coast native. He went 7 innings, 4 runs, shut piece, also got the win, which is why I give him the best day ever with 9 punchies, and he brought his ERA to back down to, I mean, it was very high before the start, and now it's at .44, so it looks like he is back, he's healthy, and I am making him my best day ever.
14 2/3 shutout innings and 6 starts since coming back from Tommy John surgery in September. All right, check this out. How about 3-0? There's your wins with a 1.10 ERA, 4 earned runs in 32 2/3 innings, a 190 batting average against, 9.4 Ks per 9, and 1.4 walks per 9. He has been amazing. And I want to give a shout out to Royals Review on Twitter. Their comment was, apparently Jason Vargas's Tommy John surgery was performed using the ligament of Cy Young. This guy,
That's pretty good.
He has been flat out awesome, man. Yeah. Absolutely awesome to this point.
And good for him.
All right, let's move on. Talk about all the home runs.
MLB on TuneIn Live, Home Run Tracker.
All right, Dexter Fowler had a pair today for the Cardinals. His first two with St. Louis. His first went 401. His second went 407. Josh Bell with the Pirates hit 1.410. Travis Shaw, the Brewers, hit 1.377. Jet Bandy, his teammate, 375. And Albert Almora Jr. with the Cubs blasted 1.407, 107 off the bat. Now, check this out. Giancarlo Stanton. Normally, when you hit a home run 445 feet, you're going to have the longest home run of the day. Nope. Second, how about 114 miles an hour off the bat? Nope. That's not first either. 25 degrees? Nope. That's not the best either. So sorry, Giancarlo Stanton. Aaron Judge beat you straight up and down. Aaron Judge has the longest home run of the day, the fastest home run of the day, 448 feet and 116 miles off the bat. Let me repeat that, 116 miles off the bat. Now, officially, it's 115.5, but our producer rounds it up for dramatic effect. Think about that. Think about that. If you're in the outfield and you're a fan catching, it's probably not going 116 miles an hour still. Maybe it slowed down a little bit, but man, that ball is just stung. Joey Gallo hit one 437. Yelich ran face first into a wall. Before he did that, he hit a 415-foot homer. Chris Davis hit his seventh home run of the year. Chris with a K with the A's, 418, 107 off the bat. Chad Pinder in the sixth, 406. Yonder Alonso with the A's, 421, 112 off the bat. Addison Russell's three-run home run, a walk-off at Wrigley, 109 off the bat, 375 in feet. Ichiro, walk-off. Nope, wasn't a walk-off, but it was more dramatic than one. In Seattle, as a member of the Marlins, final game there, in all likelihood, went 377, 94 off the bat. Chase Headley, 426. Bryce Harper's two home runs. His first one, the solo shot, 388. The grand slam went 415. That was 106 off the bat. Starlin Castro hit one 407. Freddie Freeman hit one 420. Aaron Hicks of the Yankees, 335 feet. That is the shortest home run of the night. Did leave the bat at 109 miles per hour. Jay Bruce, 375. Ryan Zimmerman, grand slam. It's still going. Josh Reddick hit one 353. And Scott Van Slyke's home run for the Dodgers went 398. Let's look a little deeper inside the numbers.
Statistically speaking.
JP, Mookie Betts struck out for the first time this year. He now has a higher season strikeout rate at 1.89 than Yogi Berra had in 1950, 1.83%. Think about that for a second. Yogi Berra struck out 1.83% of the time back in 1950.
Gosh, he's such a stud. He's my favorite of all time.
Yep, you love him, yeah, and there's a reason why.
Yeah, he's my favorite of all time, hands down.
He is the greatest offensive catcher in the history of the game, and there's no doubt about it. That's all. There's no argument.
And the best philosopher of all time.
Oh, yes, by far and away. He would say things everybody could just understand or not understand. Yeah. Mookie Betts' streak, 129 plate appearances without striking out, came to an end, obviously. Longest active streak among position players in Major League Baseball. Jose Peraza of the Reds, I think, what is it, 51 plate appearances without a strikeout? He's got the longest one. Ichiro is 43 years old. He's the oldest player to homer since Julio Franco at 48 years back in 2007. Ichiro, also the oldest Marlins player to hit a home run. Isn't Julio Franco still playing somewhere? At like 58 years old.
Yeah, he's playing probably softball in the DR. I don't know about still playing somewhere else.
I think he is. I think he's playing like in the
Does he have a Manny Ramirez deal where he gets free sushi? You just go. He loves plantains so much that if he plays somewhere, they'll just give him plantains for life.
Most career wins by a Venezuelan born pitcher. Freddy Garcia, 156. Felix Hernandez, 156. Freddie Garcia, by the way, spent most of his career with Seattle. Did you know that Freddie Garcia was traded from the Houston Astros to the Seattle Mariners for Randy Johnson? Carlos Guillen and John Dolly Halama were also in the deal, but Freddie Garcia, yes, that's it. So how many wins did Johan Santana have is my question.
I don't know. By the way, another fun fact.
139.
Freddie Garcia took me on my first big league vacation when I was a young pup in the minor leagues. He took me to Acapulco and paid for my entire experience. He is one of the nicest guys I've ever been around in my life.
Oh, that's terrific. Freddie Garcia. We got a lot of Freddie Garcia nuggets there. Addison Russell, first career walk-off home run. Cubs had five wins last season with trailing entering the bottom of the ninth, most in Major League Baseball. This was the first of 2017. Also hit that homer at 96.9 miles per hour. Hardest pitch he's ever hit for a home run. So that pitch was 96.9 miles an hour. Hardest pitch he's ever hit for a home run. Mitch Haniger, hit streak, 13 games, longest active in baseball. Giancarlo's home run off Felix Hernandez, 448 feet. Stanton has 42 home runs of at least 440 feet. More, 10 more than anybody else. My goodness. Altuve 6-for-6 in stolen bases, leading the AL. Nats got their third game with two grand slams in franchise history. Tonight it was Harper and Zimmerman. Five Minnesota natives with the most career hits all played for the Twins at some point in their careers. Think about that. Five Minnesota natives with the most career hits all played, including Maurer and Molitor. Josh Reddick's home run was hit at 88.8 miles an hour, second slowest home run ever hit by an Astros player. Hank Conger hit one at 87.6 back in 2015. Hank Conger.
Oh, he's great.
And here we go. Madison Bumgarner, 0-3, second time in his career. The Giants scored two total runs in Bumgarner's three losses this season. That was coming into the game, right?
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's it. Two total runs in his three losses, and they haven't scored a run in his last two starts. So the Giants offense just stinks.
Is that all you got from me today?
He was 0-6, by the way, in 2011, so they should have traded him. That's all I got. That's
a lot
of stuff.
Yeah, I thought today was probably the best, statistically speaking.
See, I thought it was too long.
No, I thought it was great. I actually enjoyed it. Well, I don't know about the length of it. I enjoyed the information. So that's today I enjoyed the information.
All right. Good. Well, Abe must feel great about that. You should feel great about it.
You're listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance. And we'll be right back with more after this. TuneIn is your home for all NFL action, now featuring No Huddle.
Cordell Stewart, he's just that versatile.
And Brian Weber.
I'm a middle-aged white guy. It's a team effort here.
You're a great guy. Excellent young man.
Save the tape. Excellent young man,
this
Brian
is the
Weber.
Last time I'll say it, though.
Cordell Stewart and Brian Weber will break down all things NFL.
I'm not doing truth. I'm telling you what the outcome is going to be.
That's the problem I'm having with you right now.
Truth is the name of your book.
Because you know what's wrong, and you know what's right, you would prefer to go with what's wrong because the pundits are the ones that determine what happens.
I'm telling you what's going to happen.
No, I'm asking you.
The name of the show is not shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Let's try this one.
That's our podcast.
Let me rephrase this one more time.
Listen live Monday through Friday from 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern or catch all the replays and interviews on demand on the NFL on TuneIn.
It's like us being on our app and being able to come into your cell phones, and it's different now.
This is MLB on TuneIn, the podcast, presented by eSurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Now, here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
It's now time for the MLB on TuneIn Live Triple Play, presented by eSurance. This is the segment in the podcast where we discuss three topics that interest us. Today, we'll talk about the Seattle Mariners and their hot rookie Mitch Haniger, Mookie Betts, his run of at-bats without striking out. But we're going to start with JP's problems with apologies and punishments for players who get caught cheating.
The MLB on TuneIn Triple Play, presented by eSurance.
Starlin Marte and the 80-game suspension. It's now 78 games because the Pirates have played two games since that suspension. But that's it. He's gone. And I know you kind of took offense a little bit to his apology because it was the same one that you hear everybody else say. I'm sorry. My bad. Let's move on. Or sometimes you'll also see, I'm sorry. I don't know how I got my system. My bad.
That's the thing for me that it's so frustrating as a guy who I never took any drugs. I never did anything that I wasn't supposed to do. And these guys, you can't tell me, oh, I made a mistake. You didn't make a mistake taking whatever substance you took. If I don't know if it was through, you know, pill or whatever form, or if it was a needle. You don't happen to just fall on a needle. You don't happen to just drink something that you shouldn't drink. As professionals, we have meetings. We have Major League Baseball Players Association say, hey, these are the things that you're allowed to take. Our teams go, hey, these are the things that you're allowed to take. NSF certified products. Here are all the companies that give you. They give you a sheet of paper. All of the companies. This is what you're allowed to take, and take this. And still, guys continually get caught. And then when they get caught, they say, oh, I apologize. I made a mistake. You don't make a mistake when you know what you're doing. What the problem is you got caught. Now, man up and say, hey, I was doing something stupid. I got caught. It is what it is. But until they start making things, the penalties harsher, guys aren't going to change. Because now all of a sudden he goes, okay, I messed up, 80-game suspension, yada, yada, yada. He'll come back and he'll play, and then he'll have an opportunity to make some more money. until these guys start really feeling it in their pockets and realizing that if they cheat the game, they are not going to have a chance to play the game and get paid the way they're getting paid. That's what makes me super frustrated.
So you think there needs to be a stiffer penalty than 80 games?
I think there's got to be a stiffer penalty. I don't know. It's trying to take money out of these guys' pocket. Because, yeah, 80 games and they're not getting paid. But here's the thing. Guys that are testing positive for HGH or whatever it may be, steroids, are getting deals past that. So, like we talked about earlier on the air, is they're off the air, is if I get caught taking steroids, I'm a free agent next year. All of a sudden, I have a good year. They suspend me 80 games. I don't finish the year, but I go in the offseason and I get a big deal. What's the downfall of taking steroids? What's the downfall of cheating? There's really none. So they have to figure out a way to get these guys, not only during the season when they get caught, but to say, hey, unfortunately, you have to make the minimum or even more than that. You can't – because, again, Braun – and listen, I know Braun – He did what he did. He got caught. He signed a $125 million deal. Now, he makes $100 million of that $125 million deal. So is it at the end of the day, if he was taking steroids for a while or whatever he was doing for a while, got a big deal, finally got caught through it throughout the deal, and now he gets 1 year of no pay? How is it? He's still making $100 million. How is it really affecting him? And that's what makes me mad is these guys have Major League Baseball has to figure out a way. If you get caught taking steroids, there has to be a stricter penalty than just 80 games. Take money away from these guys past just the 80 game suspension.
Do you think the Players Association would sign off on that, though? Because that's a big leap right there. Because you got to get a majority of the players to say, Tony Clark, all right, you can go with this, but now you're taking money out of their pockets. Where's that money going? Is it going back to the owners? Nobody wants to see the money go back to the owners if you're in the Players Association.
The money,
where's it going?
The money, there's a lot of. So here's the one good thing about suspensions and or fines and all that stuff. The league allows you to do it to charity. So you're allowed to write your fine or whatever it is, you're allowed to do it to a charity. So that's always nice. But my biggest
thing... Let me just ask you a quick question about that. Just something to pop... Okay. Can you write that off?
Yeah, well, that's the down... I think that's...
You get a write-off?
I'm pretty sure... I don't 100% quote me, but I mean, anything. I'm sure you get a write-off because... you're ultimately having to write a check still to a nonprofit organization. But that's the thing. And so these guys, yeah, baseball, all the meetings that I went to, right? Every time we have we had a MLB Players Association, we sit there and we talk about it. And then, hey, the Major League Baseball wants to do more blood tests. Major League Baseball wants to do more random off-season tests. Every one of the guys in there are for it. Every single one of those guys are like, yeah, we want more of it. We want more of it. Because the guys that are there are the guys that are clean. We all, if I am a person who went about my career the way I did, which was doing all the things that I was supposed to do, heck yeah, I want stricter penalties because I know that I'm not in jeopardy. I'm not worried about it because I knew that I went about it the right way. It's the other guys that may or may not want it, but they're going to have to, again, players, clean players, want stricter testing, stricter penalties. It's part of it. A lot of guys want that. I just don't know how – you can't go from 0 to 100. They went from 50 games to 80. So now how can they – I think that the 80-game suspension I think is fair. My point is that they have to start taking money out of their pocket for the following couple of years. They shouldn't be able to sign free agent deals or make big, if they're on a contract, be taking steroids and all of a sudden still make the rest of their $100 million. That's not the way it should be. There should be more of, if I'm going to go and cheat, I'm going to know that my consequences are much worse than what they are.
I mean, 80 games, it seems like it's curbed a lot of it, right? It's curbed a lot of the usage. I mean, I asked you off the air, and I'll just talk about it on the air real quick. You really didn't have an idea of how many guys inside a locker room is using anymore. I mean, if you throw it out at a low ball at 10%, that's 2 to 3 guys and on a 25-man roster, right? If it's 10%, then it's 4 guys on a 40-man roster. that's what we're looking at. You go back, Ken Caminiti said it was up to, I think, 80% when that interview, however many years ago, almost 15, almost 20 years ago, at the time said it was, you know, 60, 80%. So in all likelihood, it was probably more around half during the peak time, maybe even 60%. But they curbed it a lot with this program now. How do you even take it to another level?
Well,
because I think it's working to a point. At least they haven't busted the guys, because you can't test for everything. A lot of guys are getting away with stuff. What you can test for is the stuff that you can test for. That's just, it's really dumb that Starling Marte got busted for nandrolone. Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's one of the worst things. It stays in your system a year to 18 months. That was just a dumb choice of steroids if you're going to use steroids.
Yeah, but let me tell you, the reason why more people are not getting caught or less, let me rephrase that. The reason why less people are doing it is not because of the 80-game suspension. Again, because if I get suspended 80 games and I can come back and work and make my money, then there's really no downfall. The reason why less guys are getting caught and less guys are doing it is because the test is much stricter. We have all the time, they have blood tests, which now guys can't. Before, when guys were doing urine tests, they can bypass the urine test because HGH is something that was naturally secreted in their body, so they couldn't test levels. So baseball got onto that. Okay, well, how do we go against that? Well, we go against that by testing their blood. So they asked us, hey, can we test your blood pre, post game, in the off season? And we all said yes. As long as it's post-game is the one thing that we said, because we didn't want to give blood before a game, rightfully so. You don't want to take out, you know, if it's going to affect your play, that's the one thing where it gets a little hairy, but you're not going to clean it. If you're doing anything, being blood tested before or after the game, it's not going to change. So we said, yes, after the game, test us, blood test us as much as you want. Pee test us. I want you guys to have a tent inside my clubhouse and test us every single day, test the other team every single day. So we're all clean and off. And that's why testing has gone up. The amount of testing has gone up. So guys don't get caught as much because not as many guys are doing it. Again, when guys get caught, though, there has to be a stricter penalty. Just past the 80 games, they shouldn't be able to sign a free agent deal. If you're going in the offseason after getting tested positive and you're going to be a free agent, I need you. The most you can do is make the minimum. I can't see. I mean, again, listen. Melky Cabrera was
for
my,
how long though? For
I,
how long?
I don't know. That's something that I'm not. I don't know. There's also, I do believe that there should be an arbitrator, right? Because there's guys that also get tested positive, okay. And let's say there's been a couple guys, and I remember talking about it without saying their names. Was one guy in the off season took a cream. Because he had a foot fungus or something like that. He took a cream. It had some kind of steroid in it that tested the positive on the test. It came to the conclusion that there was so little amount of this in his body, and they got the cream and everything tested out the way he said it, that it had no effect. Like what happened was he just got the doctor gave him a bad cream. Not a bad cream, but a cream that they give normal people. And for whatever reason, it had a little bit of a steroid that he shouldn't have had. But that one, I think it was like 1/300 millionth of the substance in his body. So it really wasn't going to help him out with the performance. So I think there should be an arbitrator. So that guy, okay, if he gets suspended or something like that, that's fine. The guys that are taking stuff like this, like what Marte had and these different things, they have to be suspended, and they have to have something that's in line to, again, Melky was my teammate, and I love him to death. He made a mistake, but he still, when he was with San Francisco, he left the team. And that offseason, the Blue Jays signed him for 2 years, $16 million. So if you tell anybody in baseball, hey, dude, take the steroids, take this juice, take this stuff, and then all of a sudden, your numbers are going to be great, and if you get caught, sit out a year, and then you'll sign an off-season deal for $16 million, who in the heck wouldn't do it? Everybody would do it. So it comes down to they have to figure out a way to pass 80 games. These guys have to feel more of a punch to the gut. And I think in anything, the biggest punch to the gut is in these people's wallets. It's in their wallets.
I get what you're saying on that. I just, if you're going to do that, if you're going to say, and I think Jake Diekman brought it up right here, you make the minimum if you get busted. I mean, how many people is that really going to affect? Because you already signed a contract. There's no way if you're making $5 million, let's just say you're only making $5 million for the next 5 years every year, you can't go from $5 million down to league minimum. It's just not going to happen. You signed a contract. I'm sorry. The Players Association would not go for that. The owners are going to benefit. I just don't think that's a viable solution. I understand the idea. I understand the premise of that. It just wouldn't work.
So you don't think if there was clauses in people's contracts, like if I was a team right now, I'd say, hey, I'd put that in a clause. If you're gonna cheat or whatever, I mean, like A-Rod, these guys were stuck with $30 million on the payroll. I mean, and he's a guy who's out of the game, and they were dealing with not wanting him around. There's just the bad press at the time. And listen, A-Rod's changed it all around for himself. He's done a phenomenal job of whoever he hired as his PR person to change his persona. But again, these dudes, all that does is bring junk to your clubhouse. All that does is bring bad press. I don't want a guy at the end of the day. Listen, he could be the best player in the world. If I'm a team owner and I'm a general manager, I want good guys, and not that guys that are taking steroids are awful dudes, but they're cheaters, and I just don't want that. I don't like it. I
don't think you could get the Players Association to agree to it, to sign off on it. JP, if you could, they would have done it a million times over already. Players Association isn't going to do that because it doesn't benefit it ultimately really benefits the owners more than anybody else.
No, but here's what the association, from my understanding, it's so everybody's taken care of, right? Because the guys, the main guys that are going to be the best players in the league are always going to get top dollar, right? Mm-hmm. But association takes care of everybody from top to bottom. No one's – when there's a licensing check, it doesn't matter if you're Mike Trout or if you're the lowest guy on the totem pole. If you have the same amount of time as Mike Trout in the big leagues, your licensing check is going to be the same. Okay, and that's done so that everybody is on the same page. Everyone's taken care of, because to Mike Trout, those $30,000 of licensing checks may not be a big deal, but to the guy making minimum when I was a rookie, the $30,000 was a big deal. Okay? And so that's the association takes care of everybody. So if the association is trying to drive up the markets, because here's the argument too, is if a guy hits 20 home runs who is USDA prime beef approved, NSF certified player, hits 20 home runs, right? And the guys are hitting 25, 30 home runs that are on stuff. Okay, let's say this is my example. If they take away the steroids, right, or whatever, the guy that hitting 20 home runs, now more guys are going to be hitting 20 home runs. So where 30 looks bigger to a guy that's hitting 20, if everybody's clean and everybody's hitting 25, now that guy that's hitting 20 is on the higher market. So I actually believe that it'll drive up the market for the guys that are not as much, or not quote unquote putting up huge numbers, is what I think. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand my argument?
I hear what you're saying. I do. And I really appreciate the fact that you're so passionate about this. I do. And especially as a guy that just got out of the game.
I just hate it. Listen,
I get it.
I hate it because there's guys that I faced, and I would say it to their face if they were in front of me. Irving Santana. He's a guy that struck me out. He's a guy that's gotten me out. And I was doing that crap on drinking freaking black coffee and eating egg whites and wheat toast. And then I'm facing this guy that's cheating. Go fly a kite. That's not fair. Same thing for pitchers that are giving up these homers. Like, can I get my home runs back? Can I get my strikeouts back? No, that's just a part of it. So I feel honestly, personally insulted when these guys, when we go out there and you're all supposed to be gentlemen of the game and respect the game, and you do that crap, man. It just pisses me off because, again, I busted my tail and I did what I did, but I'm going to put my head on the pillow at night knowing I did everything the right way. But it makes me mad that these guys in my career maybe took some stuff took some money out of my plate or took some food off my plate because they were cheating and I wasn't. from the Seattle Mariners. This guy, Mitch Haniger, and you've talked well about him from day one. I am jumping on the bandwagon. 13 straight games with a hit. He broke up the no-hitter the other day. The dude has just been absolutely lights out. So, again, I am on bandwagon, all about the bandwagon on Mitch Haniger right now.
Well, he was in the Taiwan Walker trade. And, you know, last year with Arizona, where are they going to put him, right? Where are you going to put him? They got a nice outfield out there. So they ended up dealing Taiwan Walker. They got Gene Segura. They got Mitch Haniger in that trade. Taiwan Walker going down to Arizona. But this guy, it took him a while to get to the bigs. I mean, 25 years old, cracking in. He's 26 years old now. Last year, he played in 34 games. So this is really his first chance to get out there and prove what he can do. And Mitch Haniger's a stud. And listen, he was 25 years old. He had an OPS of 999 at AAA and AA last year. He cranked out 25 home runs, stole 12 bases. The year before that, he had 13 home runs, stole 12 bases in a couple levels. So Mitch Haniger, if you're a fantasy baseball player, I'm just saying, you don't even already know about this guy. What are you waiting for? He's a talent, and if JP's on board, then he must be doing something right.
No doubt. And here's another thing, too, is think about right now he's carrying that lineup. He's the only guy hitting over 300 in that lineup. So once you know Cano's going to get going, you know Nelly Cruz is going to get going, you know Seager's going to get going, you know they're all hitting under 250. Once these guys get going, this lineup is going to be good. They have Motter, who's playing good for them at shortstop, hitting balls out of the yard, and with their pitching – I mean, guys have looked good. Their starters have looked good. Paxton's looked good. The guy that hasn't been too great has been Felix Hernandez, but he's still doing well. I mean, I'm excited to see. You know, they've been my sleeper pick, and now that you add a guy like Haniger, if he can continue this going on, man, they got look at their 3, 4, 5 hitters. I mean, that's a pretty good stack right there.
Well, get on base. I mean, that's what you got to do. Get on base for Cruz and Cano and Seager. And they brought Dyson over for defense and to lead off. I think that's the other thing. They really improved their defense with Dyson and Haniger, too. You know, there's a reason why they went out and got these two guys. Their defense stunk last year. So now you throw them into the equation. You have Martin, Dyson, Haniger in your outfield, and it's better.
Who's a stud? Leonis Martin is a very, very good center fielder with an absolute bazooka of an arm. So that whole outfield is good. If Zunino can figure out how to be consistent again, then you got another guy who can hit 20 plus out of the park. He's a good defender, but he needs to start swinging the bat. You know, today he punched out 3 times. I'm a fan of the kid, but he needs to start going.
Yeah, I still think, you know, the big thing I took away from today's game, Ichiro hitting the home run in the top of the 9th inning, but ultimately the Mariners are on their way back. They went at 10-5 over the Marlins. Listen, it was bound to happen. 129 plate appearances without a strikeout. Tony Gwynn probably did that 80 times in his career, but this is a different day and age. And I think Jose Peraza was the guy somewhere in the mid-40s without a strikeout, so now he has the lead. Mookie Betts just went on a hell of a run, JP.
Yeah, and I want some credit for I told you he was going to strike him out with a changeup.
Well, you said he was going to throw him a changeup on a pitch. I said he'd throw him a slider. You set him up with the slider, and then you put him away with the changeup.
Well,
come
no,
on. If anybody knows how to call a game, it's me, JP. Give me a break.
Hey,
in all seriousness,
you do
yes,
know,
you did
you do
say
know
that.
About your baseball, so I
you
give
did
you that
say
credit.
That. But no doubt about it.
But here's the thing, dude. That is so tough to do. With the arms, with the amount of really, really good arms in baseball right now. Guys throwing as hard as they throw with the breaking stuff that they have and the information that they have. To do what he did, I mean, again, you say Tony Gwynn, he's arguably, you know, he is one of the best of all time. So, you know, to be able to see somebody do that who hits for power, hits for average, does it all. I mean, think about Mike Trout. Mike Trout is a perennial MVP and he strikes out all the time. And now you put, you know, Mookie Betts, who is a guy who I think eventually is going to – I mean, he does put the same – not the same numbers, but he's going to put up as good as numbers, maybe not as many home runs. But to do what he did, man, that is super, super, super impressive.
All right, here's the stat now. Mookie Betts snapped the streak of 129 plate appearances without a strikeout. longest by a Red Sox player since Denny Doyle with 159 back in 1975. Now, a different game back then, because when you struck out, people got upset when you struck out. It was like the worst thing in the history of the world. So Denny Doyle, I had no idea who he was, I'll be honest with you. He went to Horse Cave, Kentucky High School. He's from Kentucky, 5'9", 175-pound, left-handed batting second baseman who played from 1970 to 1977.
Okay, and here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. I bet you, he never hit 30 home runs in his career. So
he never hit five home runs in his career.
Okay, so he never hit 30 home runs in his career, and two in the 1970s.
Yeah.
The guy that was throwing the hardest was throwing 93 miles an hour.
Well, not Nolan Ryan. Come on, give me a break.
Okay, sorry. One pitcher. Now think about how many guys. think about yes. How many guys. Think about all the guys now that are throwing over 100. That are throwing over 100, or at least let's even go. I'll go over 98. I mean, there's a lot of guys that throw over 98 yes. now. So that's why, for me, it's even more impressive in this day and age with the velocity and the information. In 1974, did they have a BATS program, which is what we use to go, hey, man, 10%, he can hit this pitch. He hits this pitch at 47%. He hits this pitch at 29%. No, they didn't have.
They had Steve Carlton. They had Nolan. He played with Nolan Ryan, by the way. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
so what I'm 100%. Saying is that to me shows how much more impressive it is in this day and age. And that's what I'm trying to say.
That's it for MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn Live at 7 Eastern each weeknight. During the daily 5-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in this podcast, but you'll also have the chance to listen live to games and get the action as it happens. For Abe and Dustin in the LA studio and JP and CB alongside me, I'm Holden Kushner, and we'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to MLB on TuneIn, the podcast presented by Esurance, official sponsor of Major League Baseball. Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB, NFL, NBA, and NHL games, and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. TuneIn, your everything audio app.